Welcome to the Bank Marketing Show, the podcast that engages and informs you for success in today's marketplace. It's the show that will make you a better marketer with trends, tactics, and inspiration from experts and industry leaders. If you're wanting to impact your personal success and position your bank as the best choice in your market, you're in the right place. Now let's dive into today's show with your hosts, Chris and Dan.
All right. Hello, everyone. Welcome to another episode of Bank Marketing Show. We're glad to have you and very excited about our show today, our guest, and love having you with us. So, Dan, good to see you.
Yeah,
absolutely. Hand it over to you and let you
kick us off. I'm excited for this. So, today we are talking with Jim Perry, who's a senior strategist at Market Insights, rather, which is a consulting firm that specializes in strategies to help community banks and financial institutions compete and grow today. I had the pleasure of seeing Jim speak at a conference, Community Bankers Association of Illinois, a marketing conference a couple months ago, and we had some good conversations since then. So excited to have him on. A little more just to set the stage of who Jim is. He's been consulting with banks around the country since 2005. He's mostly focused on strategy, marketing, branding, culture, leadership. He gave a really great talk on humanizing your bank at the CBAI conference. So we'll be getting into that today. He's been featured on lists of top fintech influencers. I don't know how many dozens of community bank association meetings probably you've spoken at. Right. Super active on Twitter. So, listen towards the end here. We'll share how to connect with him. But, he's really great at taking people through complex concepts and making them kind of easy to apply to your bank. So excited to get into this. Welcome to the Bank Marketing Show, Jim.
Thanks. I appreciate it. Really quite a pleasure to be here with both of you.
Yeah. So let's start out with, like I said, you talk with community banks all the time. I think you're on the road a lot. tell us a little about that and tell us, what are some of the biggest marketing challenges you see out there right now?
Sure. You're right. There's a lot of travel involved in the work that I do. I usually love that, except for right about now. The airlines are making it a little difficult for me to always get where I want to go. But one of the things that I deal with all the time is that every market is unique. Every institution is unique. While there's some similar things that everybody's dealing with and looking at, one of the things I'm always reminding our clients and the people I talk to at conferences is that you've got to be so focused on what your local market data is telling you. Because there's so many different nuances that you have to pay attention to in order to develop strategy. You can't just pick something off the shelf and apply it over here, because that's not always going to get you the kind of results you need. But one of the things I hear from bank marketers all the time is that, A, we don't have all the resources we need to do all the things we want to do. B, I'm getting a lot of pressure from people outside of my department trying to get me to do things that I know shouldn't be applicable these days. But then the other piece is just, how do I keep up with the way things are changing so rapidly? Because we're losing touch with the face-to-face kind of point of being with our customers. You know, everything's moving to more digital interface. So how can we differentiate our institution when really the only thing that's ever differentiated us isn't our branding or our marketing, it's our people. It's our people. How can we keep that human element in what we do and how we communicate so that people will choose us as opposed to our competitor?
Yeah. I think I'm sure Chris, you two have heard that from most of the banks we work with, and it's true, I just had a meeting this morning where we talked a lot about stories of the way, a bank has helped their communities, and it is differentiating, but it's tricky, I think, figuring out how to tell that story you know, how to just take credit for the things that you do and get the story out there. Do you find banks, I think you touched on this in your talk that I saw, but and do you find banks are struggle with that, getting their message out?
You know, a lot of times they do struggle with that for a lot of different reasons. Part of it can depend on the media in their market, the level of competition in their market. Sometimes it depends on internal cultural issues that kind of prevent them from being able to share that kind of story. But probably the bigger piece of it is, you know, how can you tell that story in a way that's actually going to be meaningful to your customers or your potential customers instead of it just being all about the bank, you know, tooting its own horn? Because the one thing I'm always talking to people about is, look, folks, you've got to evolve to a real customer-centric or consumer-centric way of shaping your marketing, shaping your messaging, shaping your communications. Because if you're not giving relevant information to them, they're not going to pay attention to it anyway. You could put out the best story in the world that says, hey, we just did this great thing for Habitat for Humanity or for whatever local charity. And they're not going to pay attention to it if there's not a linkage there, if there's not some kind of connection that they already have with that particular charity.
I think you make great points about that too, Jim. And in your comments a moment ago, you talked about change. And we all know the adage that the only constant is change. And while that is true, I think we've all experienced that the day and age of the pandemic has expedited so much. And the marketing industry as a whole, and certainly for financial institutions, that has very much been the case, and that seems to be at a more rapid pace than usual. Would you say that that's the case, Jim?
Oh my gosh, yes. As a matter of fact, I was just talking on Twitter this morning with somebody involved with the American Bankers Association over, you know, conversations about a potential recession. And one of the things we were talking about was the fact that, you know, inflation right now, part of what's driven that is all of us as consumers, our demand for things that we wanted that we couldn't get a hold of during the pandemic, that our demand outweighed the supply. So there was that imbalance, probably the greatest imbalance that any of us will ever see in our lifetimes. And focusing on, you know, what consumers need, what emotional drivers are really motivating their behaviors right now, and really aligning ourselves with that. I think that's one of the biggest challenges for every marketer because things are constantly changing. Even the way people are bringing new digital tools into the actual act of marketing. You know, I know some folks that are using machine learning right now to develop their campaigns for next year. It's, again, those kind of resources aren't available to everybody. But increasingly, you know, we're learning how to use those digital tools to do our jobs better.
As a bank marketer, you know, if you're talking to a bank marketer that's interested in using digital tools, I know a lot of the banks I've worked with and chatted with, there's always some kind of internal struggle of, you know, trying to get the rest of the team on board. What, you know, can you talk a little to, I know a lot of your work with banks is helping them paint that vision, you know, helping them kind of break out of their shells. But can you speak a little to what are some ways, you know, if you're a bank marketer listening to this, that you can help your executive team to kind of see the future and know that it's moving digital and, you know, try to kind of get on board to where a bank might need to go digitally?
You know, that's a perfect lead-in because this morning I spent a fair bit of time writing a blog post for another company about that very topic. You know, when you're trying to make those kind of cultural changes or you're trying to convince the rest of your C-suite about, you know, something, some new digital technology you want to bring online, some kind of automation that you think is important, you know, one of the first places you often have to start is by speaking in ways that your CEO is going to understand, particularly through his perspectives or her perspectives. Similarly, with a CFO, with the HR person, you know, everybody who has some responsibility for a major portion of your bank's functioning, they're all going to bring unique perspectives to the table. And unless there's already an established priority for digital transformation, unless that's already clearly understood, part of the way a bank marketer is going to be able to illustrate how important this is becoming is through speaking that data-based or data-centric language to the rest of your executive team. You've got to give them the numbers because that's what drives a lot of their thinking. You know, sure, your chief operations officer is going to be worried about how this is going to impact day-to-day, but more importantly, everybody's concerned, how much is it going to cost and what are we going to get out of it? So you've got to meet them with those kind of numbers. But the big number I'm always saying you need to take into your C-suite, it was a study done back in March. It was in Forbes. It pointed to the fact that 78% of banked Americans, and this was a huge study, 78% prefer to do their banking digitally now as opposed to in person. That is a gigantic shift that is a direct result of the pandemic and the lockdown. So we've all grown so much more accustomed to getting what we want when we need it through digital channels. Our banks have to be talking in digital space. We have to be marketing more in digital space. And we have to be using those digital tools to increase our efficiencies and save costs.
Yeah, I think it's, I don't know, my opinion on that stuff is like, right, it doesn't, as a community bank, you don't necessarily need to have, you're not trying to like out digital Bank of America. You're not trying to,
right,
you know, have better tools than everyone else, but there is a sort of a minimum threshold, right, where people can do most of the banking they need, right?
Right.
And it's not so much about banking. It's not, you know, it's not necessarily the specific features of your online banking platform, but it's, you know, can I, frankly, as like a, as an introvert, like, a, you know, it's, I don't want to talk to people to solve a problem. I want to chat or I want to text. And,
right,
you know,
right.
I think it, we talk a lot about digital transformation, but it doesn't necessarily mean fully uprooting every piece of technology you have and, you know, going full bore. It can be a couple things to just remove those frictions. Have you seen?
Yeah, it's not like you don't have to eat the whole elephant all at once. You know, just like take a bite.
Yeah.
And pick what's most important, you know, to,
yeah.
If you really take the time to know your customers and to really understand the profile of your overall market and your targets, then you can pick that one thing you need to automate or pick that one thing you need to bring some new technology on to be able to deliver faster. We were working with a bank out in California that they were looking at their internal data and they saw that they were actually, people were dropping off their online application process, you know, pretty early on because it was taking too long. It was simply taking too long. And thankfully, they used that data to say, look, okay, we need to correct this. We need to change this if we expect to continue to serve folks. And thankfully they were able to do that. But a lot of folks aren't even looking at that kind of analytical data to really see that, you know what, overall, I keep hearing most people saying, if you can't open an account in 3 minutes, certainly under five, you're not able to compete with the rest of what's going on out in the industry. You can't compete with the Capital Ones. You can't compete with the Chase and the Bank of America and all the rest. And there are some minimums where you really do need to compete, especially if you expect to draw in that, you know, some of the younger demographics.
Well, and that 3 minute account opening is even after you've, you know, gotten the opportunity to talk to them about, or to, talk to them right. digitally, you know, it's after the point where they've gotten to your website or they're ready to open an account, right? Where they can still drop off, right? And it's so hard. Yeah. What are some of the things that like a bank can do, like being customer centric, digital transformations, like obviously the big buzzwords now, but like as a bank marketer, like how would becoming more customer centric?
Well, of course, as you may remember from the speech you heard me give in Illinois, I always tell the story of the two guys that were standing out on the street in the winter in France. They were trying to get a cab. It was cold. They were getting a little cranky. They couldn't find one. And one turns to the other and says, "Hey, you know what? Wouldn't it really be nice if we could just pull up a cab on our phone?" And of course, a year later, those two guys rolled out Uber and changed the entire world in terms of hailing cabs. You never have to stand on the street corner anymore and wave your arms like crazy to get a shared ride somewhere because they focused on one pain point. They focused on the one thing that they knew was a real issue for folks all over the place. And the trick, I think, is for bank marketers and bankers in general to be that focused on making sure that what you're doing goes through a pretty standard filter. Is it simple? Are you doing it securely? And is it speedy? Is it something that isn't going to take 10 minutes, 15 minutes, 20 minutes? And for God's sake, don't give me 20 steps to help me get something done. Make it easy for me, because I think that's one of the big expectations that's changed over the last 2 years. We've all grown so accustomed to, you know, this on-demand kind of culture that we're all living in right now. You know, if my local store wasn't able to get something because of the supply chain issues, what did I do? I went to Amazon and it was on my doorstep the next morning. Mm-hmm. And it's not that unusual. You can have that kind of experience in some of the most rural areas in the country because of how some of those larger companies and retail entities have reshaped our expectations about everything, including what we get from our bank.
Jim, so much of, I think you make great points, and so much of what you're talking about is how community banks can be competitive in the marketplace. And how, Dan, as you said a minute ago, once we get the attention of a consumer, then what is their experience with us? And do we have some type of a speed bump in our experience that is going to deter them to fully engage with us, an account opening process, like you were talking about, or whatever the case may be. But something else that you mentioned earlier too was the word differentiator. Dan and I have spent a lot of time in some of our prior podcast episodes talking about audience and messaging and those type of things, and differentiators keep coming up. What are the nature of those, and or even some of the specifics that you're seeing out there with community banks?
Well, one of the things that is a characteristic of those differentiating qualities that I think every bank should apply at some level, but community banks tend to do a better job at this, and that's empathy, right? I mean, the one great thing... You know, I've been going into community banks for all these years. And of course, if I had a dollar for every time, you know, I had a community banker tell me they're the friendliest bank in town, you know, I would be a millionaire. Because there is that kind of effort, part of that community bank culture that says we're going to be more personal. We are going to do our best to try to know people. But then, of course, on the other side of it, when I go in and I do mystery shopping or something and they don't know me and they're ignoring me, that kind of puts, it shuts that whole friendly kind of concept down. So when you can take those qualities like empathy, like understanding, like friendliness, and really leverage those, if you're going to make an effort to really personally know your customers, whether they're interacting with you digitally or not, that to me, I mean, that goes back to what Dan, you and I have talked about before on making banking more human. I mean, we have to work harder as community banks, I think, to make our digital experience of banking feel more human, to feel more empathetic, to let our personality as an institution come through in our messaging and how we talk about it. You know, every single community bank I know, as an example, has value statements, has things that they really hold out to be part of who they are and what they do. But they don't always do a really good job of saying how they live those values or communicate those values through their actions. So part of the job of the marketer is to build the kind of campaigns that project those kind of stories, because that's what people pay attention to. That's the videos that will get more likes and more shares on YouTube. That'll get more traction on TikTok. When you're really seeing those, that human element displayed in your storytelling.
Yeah, I had a conversation recently with a bank that we were trying to find their stories like that. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we were speaking to a couple of the bank's leadership, members of the bank's leadership team. And, you know, we asked a question like, what are, you know, let's talk about some good stories. Like, what kind of, tell me about a customer that you've helped that got help from you because you were able to find a, you know, a unique solution, or you're able to work with them flexibly. And the person that answered went right into like, well, you know, we were able to find collateral, and, you know, went into like the details of like the loan structure, and they went and found a participation from another bank that helped them make the loan bigger and had terms, you know, associated with their, the way their cash flow and payroll worked. And like, this is great. It's great that you did that, but, you know, that's not very human. So how do we turn that? I mean, it's a great story, like the flexibility, the, you know, willingness to work with the customer, but it's not just about sort of telling the story. It's how do we turn that into the human element? Like, we recognized a need and, you know, we were determined to work with that customer until it was solved. So.
And that's the bank centric versus customer centric kind of mindset that we're talking about, right?
Yeah. I think we've talked about, like, as a bank marketer, think about what is exciting to the bank versus what is exciting to the customer. And your exec team will tell you, go market this or go advertise this because they're excited. We now have online account opening, but it's 2022. And if you're advertising your online account opening, like, you talk about it, but like, if that's your primary driver of your advertising, it's going to make you look old, make you look stodgy, because everybody else has had that for 20 years. I had a blog post recently that Wells Fargo just celebrated like the 20th or 25th anniversary of their online account opening. Like, it's not new. It's new to you, but it's not new, you know?
Right.
So, you know, maybe you talk about it here and there, but it's not, it can't be the core driver. And that goes back to our earlier point of, you're not going to compete with, you know, as a community bank, you're not going to compete with Wells Fargo, who solved these things long, long ago, but you are going to compete with them on your culture, on your willingness to help.
And it also depends on how well you really know what motivates your customers or your potential customers, your target customers. I use the example of BMO Harris. Part of their marketing, they put dollars into a campaign that was not focused about promoting any product or any service or anything else. Their campaign was all about changing words and definitions in the dictionary that were disempowering to women. So they ran this great campaign. I put up this one slide where you just see the words gold digger. Because if you were to look in the dictionary, the definition is referencing a woman, you know, trying to get something from a man. Well, what they were trying to point out was, hey, look, BMO Harris believes that language is important and we need to do more to equal the playing field for women. So sign this online petition for the dictionary to change that definition. It was gigantic. There was a groundswell of people that signed up because the bank chose to use its marketing to align with what they knew their target customer valued. And that's that. All that is lining up your values with the customer values. Mm-hmm. And I think to give marketers permission to do that, it can be like game changing.
I love that. That's such a great example of, I think, what you mean by being customer centric, you know, and the positioning of that message. Jim, I'm also curious of this because of your experience and expertise, and you have kind of that global umbrella level perspective of banking as well. A lot of what I also see with banks is about niching versus being generalists. And, you know, there are arguments both directions and all of that. But I met with a bank client that somebody else in our office worked with. So I didn't even really know a whole lot about this new client yet. And the long and short of it was, after a discovery discussion with them, what I found out was they were heavily entrenched in ag loans. Okay. And they were in you know, very agriculturally rural focused area and all of that. But I looked on their website, and we had not done it, but you know, their prior website. And, you know, and ag loans just kind of fell in the list of about 14 things we do.
Right.
And yeah. Even the imaging and all of that, I was like, give me tractors, give me barns, give me, you know, whatever was non-existent. Even on the banner images on their websites and all, and I'm not saying all of this, I'm probably just pigeonholed myself because this client's going to know who they are. But we're working on changing that because if we're like, if that's where you are, please don't do that. Oh, and we, if that's where you are and where you want to go. So Jim, you know, using that as an example, you know, what is your perspective on is this customer centric thinking, and even as it pertains to niching unapologetically?
Well, honestly, these days I get it. If you're a community bank that has like two or three branches or four branches, and you've got a small footprint and you really only service, you know, so many customers, the tendency has always been you've got to be everything to everybody. But we all know now the most effective marketing is going to be stuff that feels personalized. And how do you personalize? It's you've got to get focused down onto the unique needs of segments of your population, which means you've got to be agile enough in your marketing. You can't put something up and expect it to last for 2 years. You know, you've got to be able to, you know, focus on several different segments over a course of a year or 2 years. Really, whoever you're targeting, instead of trying to be that everything to everybody. Now, granted, every single marketer in this audience knows that you're going to have somebody from your office stick their head in your door and say, hey, you know what? We've got this great rate campaign we need to get out the door, or there's this super billboard out on the interstate that we should be doing. It's like, no, we are living in a digital age where there are digital tools available to us that can put the right message in front of the right person at the right time. And we have to keep kind of leaning into that way of doing business, because if not, we're going to keep falling behind, because there are community banks that are moving pretty rapidly to bring those kind of skills to bear.
Well, yeah, and to the niching point too, like, if you're, and this is not just true in banks, it's true everywhere, just the digital proliferation that's happening in banking is happening everywhere. If you try to be everything to everybody, you're kind of not, you don't have a compelling message for anyone. You know, there will always be somebody that's niching to, you know, some customer group that's just going to have a more compelling message. We've talked on the show about fintechs have been growing quickly because they try to solve very tiny problems. And when you solve a tiny problem, it's only for a tiny part of the population, but you get all of them excited.
Right.
So I think banks can appeal to more, but it's a matter of like, you still can't appeal to everybody. And maybe you don't pick one niche, but you pick five or pick 10, and you've got to, you know, make messages that are really in line with them.
Yeah, and here's the thing though, consumer research tells us that if a customer, a potential customer, sees you doing something really, really well with that niche, whatever that niche happens to be, if you're doing it really, really well, they're still going to pay attention to you. Because if you're the top-rated ag bank in your region, hey, you guys got to be doing something right to keep all those farmers happy, yeah. Right? And regardless of what segment you pick, it's like, but do it and do it the best you possibly can, because then that's an aspect of differentiation that not everybody can achieve because they don't bring that focus.
No, that's an interesting point too. Working with lots of ag focused banks, and you know, the common complaint I always hear, Chris, I'm sure you hear it too, is like, well, you know, Farm Credit Bureau just kills us on rates, on, you know, we can't compete, but you can compete on that stuff. You know, you can tell how you serve them better by being flexible, by, you know, and this bank I was talking to this morning goes out to the farm to have meetings. They don't require the farmers to come in. Like, there's aspects of service that you can change that, you know, Farm Credit and the bigger institutions won't. And so it's not just competing on rate. It's not just competing on digital. You know, you're competing on, if you are sitting there truly thinking we have the best service, we have the best staff, the best people, use that to your advantage. And you know, that's where you can get creative to change that service model. And then, you know, that gives you a story to talk about too. And you're, you know, in your advertising.
One of the other examples I use, speaking of ag, is this great bank in right around Grand Rapids, Michigan, an ag-focused institution for the most part, that brought on this great new digital technology that allows their bankers to talk via video within their mobile app and with online. So, and they've got this great ad that shows their farmer in his barn, cow right hanging over his shoulder, you know, having this conversation with the banker face to face. So it's a digital environment, but it feels more human because there's that kind of video connection. And this bank is like, what, $400 million in assets? Probably. It's not a huge institution, but they're bringing some of the digital technologies that allow them to feel more human in that digital space. And when people who aren't doing ag see that kind of ad, they think, wow, I would like that myself. I can do that. So it's, again, find out what's important to your prospective customer and line up with that.
Yeah.
Yeah, there you go. I love that, because you've if we've gone here, you've talked about both the horizontal niching and those capabilities and the platforms and all of that, but also the verticals of whatever that is, in speaking to them in the customer-centric focus, whether they're restaurateurs or, you know, whatever, multifamily housing or small businesses, or it matters not what the niche is, correct?
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think what I always think about is, you know, if you talk to loan officers, you talk to universal bankers, you know, tellers that are talking with customers, they kind of inherently know what customers care about, right? Because they talk to them all day.
Right.
And so, you know, it's often like, as a marketer, tendency is like, well, how do we make this ad more compelling than what Bank of America is doing? But you know, start with the people that talk to customers all day, and you'll probably find those stories. There's probably things that your bank's already doing that are pretty common for you that you might not think is unique, but it is. And, you know, I think the banks that are doing the best at building those the brand awareness, the brand building campaigns are the ones that can mine those stories out of the frontline staff and tell them.
And sometimes it's just simply a matter of having the kind of conversations. I'm not saying, you know, do focus groups or surveys every day, but periodically it's important to actually have those kind of conversations with your customers, with that kind of ideal target. Find out what's most important to them at that moment and know that it's going to change.
Yeah.
But for now, you got to check in every once in a while. It's like that's the biggest thing about banking overall. We're moving out of this kind of transactional way of thinking into relationship way of thinking. And community bankers love to think of themselves as relationally focused, but functionally, we still do a lot that's all based on our transactional mindset.
Yep. Interesting. Jim, before we segue into our final piece here, question for you as you're looking at all of this, and again, the customer-centric discussion here is great. So are there other things that you're walking into a bank that you never have talked to before and having a discussion with the C-suite group tomorrow? And covering all the things that we've talked about in this episode with, again from platforms and capabilities to messaging and niching, all of that, what do you think are kind of the summary nuggets there of the key pieces that some of these smaller community banks need to be aware of, number one, and then move into action about as things are so rapidly changing, as you say?
Well, even as I heard you lay out that question, I thought, you know, where my mind went was to a recent strategic planning engagement that I had, where it became clear the initial inclination was for people to try to do it all at once, you know, to try to set out the kind of plan that allows you to hit on every single one of those areas, when in fact, we all know that the reality of day-to-day banking is that really to move the dial forward on any of these areas, you got to pick a couple of things and prioritize those and then do them, get them done and move on to the next. So if you want to, let's say, simplify all of your back office processes, elevate that as a priority. Make sure that people understand that we're going to spend time figuring out what we need to speed up in order to improve our customer experience. Or if we're going to evaluate what's going on with all of our online applications so that we can actually, you know, deliver a better customer experience. Yes, let's do that. Or if we're simply going to shift a lot of our marketing spend from some traditional media to more digital media, elevate that as a priority and make sure that you're setting it up so you've got the right tools and you've got the right data to make those choices.
All right. Well, should we wrap up there and shift to the lightning round?
Oh, lightning round.
I was going to say, if Jim's ready for it.
All right. Well, Jim, and listeners, when we have a guest on the show, we like to kind of wrap up with the same couple of questions just to get everybody's take. So we will hop in. But Jim, can you share something great, a personal best or a business best, something great that's happened to you recently?
All right. Two answers to that. Personal best. I love being on some of these lists, being called out as being part of the top 20 influencers, all that kind of stuff. That's always a lot of fun. But a more fun personal best, this last Groundhog Day, I happened to tweet out at precisely the time that Punxsutawney Phil said that we were going to have six more weeks of winter. And that tweet had 531,000 impressions. It was a top tweet. I've been out on Twitter for like 12 years, 13 years. And a lot of people follow me, but I never had that kind of traction. So 531,000 impressions. Yeah.
Who knew?
Do it again. Now you have to do it every Groundhog Day.
Like, every Groundhog Day, right? Exactly.
What's your favorite? It doesn't have to be favorite of all time, but favorite book or other material?
Actually, a book that came out last year, written by actually a colleague, somebody I know from Twitter and from banking space. It's a book called Beyond Good by Bradley Lemer and Theo Lau. Amazing book. It's all focused on purpose-driven banking. So it's worth a read.
All right. Check that out.
Definitely have to check that out.
What is the most impactful piece of advice you've ever received?
I didn't actually receive this directly, but I read it and it really stuck with me. And it was a quote from Ginni Rometty, who used to be the CEO of IBM. She said, growth and comfort never coexist. And you have to get really comfortable with being uncomfortable. That just resonates at the core of everything I do. It's like, yeah, you know, to change, you know, you're going to be uncomfortable for a while.
Yeah, I love that. I think that's so true, like personally, but also like as an organization, just all the stuff we're talking about today. Like if a bank wants to digitally transform, it's going to be uncomfortable.
Very much.
So that's advice coming in. How about advice going out? What's something you always tell your clients?
Well, actually, it's related and it's really simple. It's like, folks, everything changes. That's the core message, because the one thing that is a characteristic of our industry, we tend to move very slowly and we tend to like things to be the way they always have been. And so in that kind of hierarchical culture, sometimes you gotta just shake it up and say, folks, you know, if you expect to be here 10 years from now, you can't do things the way you've always done it. Everything changes.
Yeah. All right. You survived the lightning round. The last freebie or softball question. If people want to hear more, like, what's your Twitter handle? How can people get in touch with you?
Twitter handle, MI underscore Jim. So MI from Market Insights underscore Jim on Twitter. And certainly, if you want to go to our website, you'll find the link there anyway, formarketinsights.com.
All right. Well, we will link to all that stuff in the show notes. Really, really appreciate you coming on the show today. It's been awesome talking to you. I think it's gotten my brain going. I'm going to go write my next blog article, I think.
Sweet.
Yeah, same thing. I've taken a couple of notes and I'm like, okay, I've got to have this discussion with some bank clients, and I've got to and even relay some of this to my team. So some good valuable stuff here, Jim. This has been great.
I appreciate that. I mean, let's face it, you guys are out there trying to elevate the conversations to really shift the industry in ways it needs to shift in order to compete in the digital age. You know, what you're doing to kind of improve things for the community banking sector really means a lot to me. So it's a pleasure to be with you both.
Yeah, thank you so much.
Awesome. We were honored to have you, Jim. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks for joining us. To go deeper or get access to some of the valuable nuggets from today's show, go to bankmarketingshow.com. There you'll find episodes, links to resources, and much more. Be sure to subscribe wherever you find your podcasts, and join us next time.